Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Before I went, he had a party at MCI, whatever it's called now, Capital One. And I said, look, I'm not giving you a gift.
Right, I think you got to be
up
front.
It's not happening.
Right.
Yeah, so
I'm
like
here.
Other people, like somebody bought him a driver.
Yeah.
As I'm, you know, I'm just not giving you anything. Like, let's not pretend.
Well, what about with your kids, Elizabeth? Well, what I'll do Christmas time at my house, what I'll do with my kids is we'll put the tree up early, and then I will wrap a bunch of empty boxes and put them under the tree. And then every time a kid misbehaves, I throw an empty box in the fireplace. And I go, there you go. You asked for it.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We are live at Chatter at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Street Northwest in the capital of the United States of America. Full service, for profit. Big crowd already today, early in the morning. Thank you very much. Jeannie McManus is here. Gary Braun is here. Nigel is going to run the board, do the news. Michael is in South Carolina, so I will do what Michael does later in the show. I will say the code Bootsy is available at Johnny O for last-minute gifts up until Christmas Eve. So at least today and tomorrow,
yeah.
Today and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, you go to the Johnny O thing, you use the Bootsy code, Bootsie.
You'll do that later.
I'll do that later.
Okay,
in the show.
Let's check. Let's make sure we cover that.
I can't believe that it's Christmas weekend and we're not sitting here trying to cajole you to get on an airplane.
I'm not going anywhere.
I know. This
no,
is
I'm not.
Extraordinary.
I'm very upset about this.
In years past, didn't you go to South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was invited.
That's
never gets
what
old.
I was going to say.
I've also gone to Florida. I've also gone to California.
Yeah. What about the ballet guy?
This is our last show for about a week, a little over a week. Let me just first apologize to Jen Babish. And when I mention Jen Babish, I have to mention Claire Natola because they are...
Package deal.
They are pillars of the show. We had too many people... you never have. You don't have too many people at a restaurant.
That's right.
But we didn't have available seating where people wanted to sit because we had a much larger crowd. Now, we could solve
this... So where are... Did they go home?
I don't know. So we could solve this problem. There's one way we could solve this problem. I just don't know if I can legally do this. And that would be to have closed-circuit television. Let me explain for the 150,000 people who listen every day who aren't here, okay, that we are in this atrium, which Wisconsin Avenue is visible to us, and it is glass enclosed.
Well, you can put seats
and
out there.
And it's a corner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, seats out there, not in the winter. And it's a corner of the restaurant. It's on an upper level, and it's in a corner. So people can see us from the lower level, but not from the bar. And not from the dining room area. And the way we could solve this, the way I could solve this, is to have closed-circuit cameras just for the restaurant. And so people could see the show and hear the show.
Only in the restaurant.
Only in the restaurant.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
But some other place.
Will there be hair and makeup?
There's no hair and makeup. In my case, there's no hair. But I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if my contract with ESPN... allows me to do that because they own video rights to me. And I don't want this to get contentious. I mean, what I would do if I were a true businessman, because this is what business people do. They do whatever they want till they get caught.
Right.
They just do it.
Ask forgiveness, not permission.
I would just do this, and then somebody would say to me, you can't do it.
Oh, my bad.
Anyway, so I apologize.
Well, in the short term.
I'm happy that we're getting a crowd. And by the way, people made reservations, which we don't even take.
Right, right.
And they made them, and they're sitting here because they made reservations, and I don't know who said that's okay. But you're here, so enjoy, because it's the last day of this year.
So in the short term, we have Michael is not here. He's with the in-laws.
Anarchy.
We have an extra seat, which we should auction off.
$100,000.
Auction off to charity,
yeah.
Maybe the Spike and Ike College Fund, and someone can come sit at the table with us.
All right, stuff comes in the mail from Mark Brazell in Odenton, Maryland. Attached, you will find one of those lame Christmas cards with photos of people you've never met, along with the official holiday challenge coin from the United States Secret Service. I have nothing funny or clever to say, so I'm hoping this trinket gets me on the air. I just want to simply say I like what you do. And this is from the Brazell family, from the Wiesels or the Weasels.
Did you want this?
I think it's probably the Wiesels.
Yes.
Ryan from Silver Spring suggested we send your team our holiday card. We're longtime fans of the column, and now a whole family enjoys the podcast. It's the only thing we can agree to listen to together, the Wiesel family, Katie, Brent, Annie, and Sam. We have the guys, G-U-I-S-E. I guess it's pronounced guys. Scott, Jill, Carly, Shane, and Roxy. Roxy is the dog. I assume. Maybe not. The Brewer family sends us a card. the...
By the way, you did not mention the look at the back of the Wiesel family. Yeah. That, now, you might not recognize that. There's a picture of them on the beach
mooning.
With their backsides sort
of
sticking
out. Yeah, but they're not really
mooning. But they are all wearing MeUndies.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I have that pattern of MeUndies.
I didn't know that.
Too much
Javier sent us something with Javier and Melinda, Christian and Anna, which is nice. And the Grossmans, Melanie, Kevin, Samantha, and Eli sent us cards. It's always nice that people send us their cards. Don't you think?
It's always lovely.
Beautiful families. You know,
what I don't want them to do is send those long letters.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want the updates.
I don't know who they are.
2017 has been a big year for us.
Yeah, so
let
I don't,
you,
you know. I don't,
oh, no, those are fun.
Now, I love to get those letters from people like Dave Kindred, people that I know, but people that I don't know that tell me, what is the Bob Dylan line? Something about, you know, I know you thought it was amazing the time the doorknob broke when you asked what I was doing. Is that some kind of joke? What is that, Positively 4th Street or something
know.
Like
you
that?
You know better
anyway,
than I.
Yeah. So, now to begin the show.
And that ends the holiday card reading
of
the Tony Kornheiser Show for 2017,
that's
right?
Yeah.
We're not
absolutely
doing that when we come back.
That's ruining it, so to speak.
So do you have plans?
Movies. Very simple plans.
You're going to stay in your house and watch movies, or you're going to go
to
the movies?
No, go out to...
What movies do you want to see?
Okay, so I already have the plan. Me and my husband and my sister. Christmas Eve, 3 billboards at the Avalon, our people.
Right.
And then.
And by our people, people over the age of 90.
That's right.
You're going to see that on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, well you know,
Christmas
I'll tell you why.
Well, 10:30 a.m. showing.
Okay. We went the other day, I tried to go to Arclight Bethesda to see Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I went online to Arclight Bethesda, and there was this traffic alert box flashing. It said, leave early. Traffic, parking traffic is congested.
Did it say this?
It will take you 45 minutes to find a parking spot. I'm like, so that ends the.
Get away from the window.
That's right. So that ends the movie at the mall experience for the next week or so.
Okay.
So that's why I'm going to the Avalon.
So you're
going to
do movies.
And then we're doing The Paper and Darkest Hour on Christmas Day with Chinese in between.
Don't you get fatigue from that?
No.
That's not... Gary, what are you doing?
Very excited tonight to go to the outdoor nativity scene.
Camels.
Bringing
camel
my...
Camel on Tori's
lawn. Yes.
Dressing warmly and bringing my flashlights, as I've been told to do.
Some people at PTI wanted to go, and I said, no, you're not...
Well, she said you could bring anyone you wanted.
I don't want them.
Okay, well, no.
I don't want them.
Neither
do
I. Steve Bannon, is that okay?
Well, you know, you do wonder, people could just wander in among the camels and not be noticed.
They're camels. How can this be legal? And that cow... two camels and a cow.
Tomorrow, we are going to see Star Wars.
Okay.
Pike and Rose for Star Wars. Have you done the Pike and Rose
thing? I have.
Okay.
You don't sound too enthusiastic about it.
We did that for Star Wars when we found that the movie theater parking lot
was crowded.
A recliner and a dirty blanket.
Yeah. With the blankets they used to give the Indians to kill them with smallpox.
Right, the smallpox.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to give it another chance, but I would say that the service was... terrible.
All right, well, I'm not going there for
right
to be
about,
served.
Right
I'm going there to see
Yelp.
A movie.
Well,
don't
but no,
us.
But that's yeah, one of back. The features. You sit back in this chair, and there's a tray, and they bring you food.
How much do they charge?
I sneak my own food and booze into a movie.
How much do they charge for a movie?
A lot.
What is a lot?
$15, $20?
No, I think for the two of us,
two tickets, it was like over $50.
To buy the ticket?
Garbage. That's ridiculous.
I'll go see Springsteen for that.
That's ridiculous.
Oh,
that's ridiculous.
Anybody want to see Springsteen?
I want to see Springsteen. Right. What are you doing?
Yeah, so that's
Star
and then,
Wars.
You know, not to go on too deep of a personal dive here, but next Friday is I'm getting cut. Next Friday I get getting shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you are? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got a rotator cuff repair situation, so... 6 weeks in a sling, and I'm not supposed to drive. So, which we'll talk after the show about
who's
going to get
drive
me
you around. Yeah,
right.
Because I have to get out of the house. Yeah. Probably even more than the show needs me.
Do you
left
have something
shoulder?
To do?
Oh, yes.
Right.
What? I didn't tell you. Oh, I'm very excited. I got invited down to a Christmas gathering down in South Carolina. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a friend who used to do that.
Play some golf.
So this is so great. So when Michael got there, I wrote Michael a text in which I said. And if Chan and Moni ask about the fact that I keep talking about not being invited this year to South Carolina, tell them it's just shtick and not to worry about it.
But
and he wrote me back and he said, they won't even ask.
Well, so this would be very telling because they do listen to the show. So
they
if they do not mention to him Then I would be concerned because then that hits a little close to home. So hopefully.
So what did you do last year that has
I thought I was a perfect guest. I mean, I don't know what I did. I thought I was a perfect guest. I really, honestly, did. I can't explain this at all. So the one sports story I wanted to talk about. Well, we're getting ready to do PTI yesterday, and it's about 3 o'clock, 3:15. We're going to tape Steve Young. Steve Young is so great on this show.
Yeah,
he's just brilliant, Steve Young. And he
was the one that gave you the phrase.
Yes, a big bag. Send me a box of that. So on the screen, it says breaking news, and they're doing NFL Live. And the breaking news, and I don't think this is really big news, but the breaking news is that the Seattle Seahawks are fined $100,000. Fined $100,000 for the incident on a Thursday night game in which Russell Wilson got hit. He said in the jaw. They said in the head. He went to the concussion protocol tent and was in and out so quickly.
Blink of an eye.
It was like Now You See Me Part 2. I mean, it was less than 5 seconds.
The RG3 move.
It was less than 5 seconds. And so they fined him, the Seattle Seahawks, $100,000. And we were asked our reactions. And some people went on the internet immediately and said the NFL got it right. $100,000 to an NFL team is nothing. It's the amount of money it takes to put hot dogs in the friends and family section.
Not even a slap on the wrist.
It's nothing at all. This is a joke. If I had a team that could get to the playoffs and I had a pretty good quarterback and he could get out of the tent in one play, I'd pay $500,000. I'd pay $1 million. This is absolutely flies in the face of your stated concern of player safety, right?
Yes.
It's a joke. It's $100,000 is a joke.
Yeah.
Now, the next time, I assume it will go up, but they should have established it at $1 million.
Well, I hope it goes up significantly, and I hope next time the player is white, and then people can say, it was racism. If Russell Wilson had been white, they would have fined him more.
But you know what it is? It's NHL justice. In other words, the NHL waits to determine how long you're out by how long the person you hit is out.
Yeah.
And so Russell Wilson was fine.
Well, because
he didn't have a concussion. So they all got lucky in that. But it's wrong.
But
it's wrong.
So what I think what you're saying is, and I would agree with you, is your contention is, had he actually suffered from a significant injury, that fine would have been way worse.
So, I don't know. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that they took the easy NHL route, and they just said nothing happened to him. They waited 4 weeks, and they gave him a $100,000 fine, and they could get away with it. I think it's wrong.
But how wrongheaded of the team? At that point, when he got hit, weren't they already losing?
I don't remember.
It was a Thursday night game, and I don't remember.
They were in contention for that
game.
They? I don't remember. But
of course I don't remember. It happened more than a day ago, and it was flushed out of my brains, and I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, that was lame.
But if you're going to say that player safety is your number one concern, and this is such a minor amount of money to fine a team with complete and utter disregard for the protocol. I mean, what could the doctor have said? What question could a doctor have said to him that he would have satisfied the answer in that short period of time?
He wasn't in long enough to even have answered, what's your name? I mean, he literally walked in and walked out.
Who's your daddy?
Is your mother a prostitute?
Right, that's right. So that's it. Let's get out of here. We'll come back. Ann Hornaday will do a whole lot of movies. And much to my surprise, and this is not the one that she's supposed to do today, but I thought that movie Downsizing would be terrible and freakish, and I didn't want to see it.
Oh, she's seen that, so she could probably talk about that with you.
Yeah.
It apparently is really good.
She really liked it. 4 stars,
yeah,
I think.
Okay,
so we'll do that
Audible.
As well.
Okay.
All right, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Upside.com ad. If you travel for work, listen up. Listen up. Great title for a television show. That business trip you're about to book, do it over at Upside.com, and I will give you two of the best gifts anyone will give you this holiday season. The first is a free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones so you can have some peace and quiet on your business trip. And second, I'm going to give you the gift of a better business travel experience, and that's what you'll get when you book your next business trip over at Upside.com. And here's why. Only Upside has customer service specialists who look out for you every step of the way on your business trip, handling any problem that might pop up. Their team is hard at work 24/7. And, you know, that's a cliche, 24/7. Because they're not really. To make sure your flight, well, maybe they are, but it's different people because somebody doesn't stay up 24 hours a day. To make sure your flight, hotel, and rental car go off without a hitch, they're available on demand by chat, phone, and email whenever you need them, which is good. Only Upside monitors your business trip around the clock, proactively keeping you posted on everything from the weather in the city you're going to changing your flight home so you can adjust your meeting schedule. Have you ever experienced that level of service before on a business trip? No, you haven't. All that plus Upside has great prices for flights, hotels, and rental cars. Now, to get your free pair of Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, use my code Tony when you book your first business trip at Upside.com. That's code Tony at Upside.com to claim my free gift to you. It's so personal. Bose SoundLink wireless headphones, Upside.com. You deserve a better business trip. And, of course, the disclaimer, headphones available while supplies last, so I hope they have millions, must be first. Upside purchase, $600 minimum purchase required. That's easy on business trips with hotels and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, that's easy. See the site for complete details.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent from Stephen Dawson, who writes, these are a few more tunes from Virginia Coalition. I like this band. You were kind enough to play us around this time last year. We're all locals who used to do this for a living, but now we're pursuing other less impoverished careers. They are playing a show at the Hamilton on tomorrow night.
Cool.
1223. I love the Hamilton.
It has sold out, but if you or any of your crew would like to attend, we would be honored to have you as our guest. It's probably too late for you, me, because we play at 9 p.m., but I'm sure Nigel has nothing better to do. You know. P.S., I heard you discussing Jennifer Nettles on PTI the other day. I've attached a photo from a tour we did with her before her Sugarland days. I'm the one next to her with the Amon Green profuse sweating problem. I'm likely to fumble at the goal line. She's great. She's really great, Jennifer Nettles. So that's really nice. Very nice tune. Ann Hornaday joins us now. And Ann was very kind to give me a bottle of rye, right? It's rye, is it? Is it whiskey?
It's a little rye. It's just a little rye.
And this is Baltimore.
A touch of the rye.
Is this the new distillery that Kevin Plank has opened?
You betcha it is.
And I haven't opened the stuff yet. How good is it?
It's really good.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Hornaday, we like to indulge in a tipple. We have a teaspoon at a time. It's really good stuff.
Yeah.
What's it called? It's not Under Armour whiskey.
Sangamore?
Sangamore. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So it's called Liquid Under Armour, as Ann writes.
That's what I said. We in Baltimore call that Liquid Under Armour. But no, it's really good. And yeah, that Sagamore is the name of his. His whole company is developed. You know, he's got big ideas, that Plank.
Kevin Plank does. Yeah. Wants to build towns and stuff like that.
He does.
Let me get to movies. And I teased this by saying that I had seen the stuff on TV for Downsizing, and it looked very freakish, and I thought it would be a very, very terrible movie. And now I take it you've seen it, and it is not a very terrible movie.
You know, I really fell for this movie. It is going to be divisive. I think if you go onto Metacritic or one of those aggregating sites, you're going to see it probably varies widely in terms of people going with it or not. I went with it. It's the premise is a nearish future during which they've figured out how to shrink people in order to take up fewer resources on the planet. It's kind of a solution to all of the environmental problems. Some people have shrunk themselves, other people have not, and it's kind of a, have you done it yet? Have you not done it? And Matt Damon plays this kind of everyman who decides to take the plunge and get small. And it follows his, what happens after that, and it's not at all what you think it's going to be. It goes into these incredibly weird directions.
So he doesn't get eaten by a dog, because I always think that's how it ends, you get eaten by a dog.
Yeah, and there's a few of those sorts of sight gags, but mostly it's not Honey, I Shrunk Matt Damon.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like that's not
that's
the
what I was afraid of.
Humor.
Yeah.
I know, and it's much more thoughtful than that. And if it means anything to you, it's been written and directed by Alexander Payne.
Oh, yeah. The guy from the Nebraska kid, the Omaha kid.
Exactly. So you get a sense.
He did Election.
You know
that was his first movie, and Election was brilliant.
It was brilliant. Well, actually, I think Citizen Ruth was his first, and then that's really smart. No, but he's a smart guy, so you know this isn't going to be broad laughs. It's going to have a lot more content and a lot more meaning to it. And I was so moved by where this movie went in terms of, I was genuinely really moved because it's kind of, there's been a lot of movies this year that have been animated by anxiety, like the Darren Aronofsky movie Mother and even this Guillermo del Toro and Three Billboards. Like a lot of them are all about the angst of the age. And this one's about that, too, but it ends up in such an amazingly moving,
okay,
optimistic, beautiful place. I just loved it.
So I will watch that. And I was completely turned off by the ads of it. All
well,
the money.
You may, your mileage may vary because, you know, I just, like, I want to just stipulate that.
Okay.
It's just
I'll
one of those movies not everyone's going to see the same way.
One of the movies is All the Money in the World, getting a lot of nominations, getting buzz over the fact that this is the movie that Kevin Spacey was written out of and
right.
Christopher Plummer was written into.
Right.
And did all the scenes in about an hour. Like,
yeah.
he was there less time than Russell Wilson was in the concussion protocol tent.
And they reassembled much of the cast.
Yeah.
Just for
yeah.
that.
So,
free. They worked for free. To
is
do
this
those
good?
Reshoots.
Is it good?
It's good. First of all, Plummer is amazing. Plummer makes this movie, so it makes you feel like, why the hell didn't they cast him in the first place?
And
he
actually strikes me as a better casting decision than Spacey in that role.
Because closer in
exactly.
age to,
yeah.
to the...
It's like, that's your guy.
Yeah,
and he just has that richest guy in the world sort
totally.
Of feel about him.
Okay.
Totally. And, you know, I was raving a couple of weeks ago about this movie called The Man Who Invented Christmas about
yes.
Dickens. And Plummer plays Scrooge in that movie, and he's playing Scrooge in this movie. I mean, it's the same guy. Like, this greedy... miserly man who will not part with a nickel, you know, and it's very well done. It's very well executed. It's engrossing. I found myself wondering, why am I watching this? I'm not exactly sure this wanted desperately to be a movie. It's an incredibly sad story about the Getty family and what happened to this poor young man. And I'm old enough to remember.
I remember
when it happened.
Me too.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember he was kidnapped. Didn't they cut his ear off?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they sure did.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know, though, it's interesting. We're going to talk about the post in a minute. But the hero of the piece is his mom, who's played by Michelle Williams, who's kind of the voice of sanity
like
in all
her.
Of this and humanity,
I like her.
And also just common sense. And it's like she. It's an interesting portrait of a woman kind of battling a family and battling a family business and trying to steer it towards humanity. And so, but I don't know, I can't say I enjoyed watching it because it's just so painful to watch.
Okay.
It's a very sad story, but they did pull it off, and Plummer really is incredible.
There's a movie, and I know you like this movie because you talked about it before, I, Tonya, the Tonya
yes.
Harding story, which just when you first told me there was a movie about Tonya Harding, I just laughed because I couldn't believe there'd be a movie.
And said,
and
why?
Jeannie and I were...
We lived it.
Yeah, we lived
there
it every day, wrote about it every day in Lilyhammer. And this is good, right? This is really good.
It's surprisingly good. And my biggest concern going in was that it would be campy and that it would
yeah.
kind of poke fun, and she's such an easy butt of a joke. And instead, it completely... Speaking of humanizing, it humanizes. I just didn't realize it fills in her backstory, the tough, tough, tough life she had with her mom, played by Allison Janney in an absolutely kind of, you know, masterfully anti-heroic performance that does get played for laughs, and it's a little uncomfortable. You know, there are moments where you feel like, are the filmmakers laughing at these people or with... But I do think that ultimately Tonya Harding comes across, it does humanize her, and it reframes that entire episode in a way that gives you a lot more compassion for her than I think we all had at the time. But there are elements of dark humor. Margot Robbie plays Tonya Harding in a performance that's revelatory. I mean, it shows her acting chops. Like, you
wow.
know, she produced this, and I can see why she did, because it's an absolute showcase
for
her and for Allison Janney.
So, I mean, Jeannie and I...
P.S., great soundtrack. I mean, great.
Oh.
It's wildly entertaining. I've been presenting it at the various local film
yeah.
clubs and talk cinema. People, it's just an audience. It's a crowd pleaser. It's really an entertaining, fun movie to watch.
If you were involved in it in the way that we were involved in it, you came to hate both people. You came to hate Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
And you just... And one of the great moments was when Nancy Kerrigan, after the Olympics... went to Disney World and was insulting Mickey Mouse and stuff
right.
like that.
And then took it back. I think
yeah,
Mickey's
just,
one of my favorite mice in the whole world.
You know, it's just, yeah. Anyway, you didn't, after a while, you got sick of both of them.
Well, and I think what this movie points up is that the national narrative was good girl, bad girl. And
absolutely.
Nancy,
definitely.
You know,
absolutely.
She wasn't America's sweetheart, and she was put in that role, and
right.
it was all distorted, and it was all unfair, you know?
Well, all distorted and all unfair, except that her husband and her husband's goons actually attempted to rig the thing by trying to break
that's,
Nancy Kerrigan's legs.
So when is
that's
that?
That's true, and that's
see,
stipulated in the
Well,
film.
There's that.
Yeah.
And yes. Well, there's that.
Without any spoilers, like, when in the movie, is this about everything that sort of leads up to that, or does that happen to kick the movie off? Or
no, what? It's everything that led up to that.
Okay.
And it very much whiffs on the issue of whether she knew and was in on it. That's the big question. And I don't think that I think the movie wants us to think she didn't have any, you know, didn't know, genuinely did not know he was going to do that.
Maybe not.
And can I just point out that
it leaves you with that impression, although there's at least one scene that does give you some doubt. But I think that it really, I walked away thinking she really did not have anything, that it was all him and his wacko friend.
Sean Eckhart, who is played by a bloke by the name of Paul Walter Hauser, who is so unknown as
Doogie's dad.
I think he's Doogie's dad, yes. He doesn't even have a page on Wikipedia. I mean, he's like an unknown guy. And I mean, check me if I'm wrong, but I mean, he just nailed Sean Eckhart. I mean, he was absolutely terrific.
Nailed. Yeah. That's an uncanny.
It's fabulous.
They're like a Coen Brothers group. You know,
yes, they are.
It's a fabulous little piece of American sports history.
Do you remember when Nancy Kerrigan got whacked in Detroit at the...
Why, but
do you remember that right away,
Tracy Hamilton,
Joe Louis Arena.
Yeah. Aww.
Tracy Hamilton and I immediately suspected Tanya Harding's hand in that.
Yeah.
But she did.
Oh, you didn't think it was just a random whacking of a figure skater?
No, we knew.
Okay.
Did they talk about the Clackamas Town Center ice skating rink?
Yes, we'd been following the rival, and they'd already been pitched as good girl, bad girl.
That was the narrative.
Yeah. Well, you really do see the roots of that here, and just how kind of, how that was all built.
All right, let me move to Molly's Game, which I really want to see because...
You'll like it.
Yeah, because it's Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
And because nobody is as smart in the world as Aaron Sorkin makes them be. Everybody in an Aaron Sorkin movie or television show is smarter than everybody else in the world.
And they all
when you think they've been trumped, they haven't been.
But
they come back with a great speech.
The same way in Aaron Sorkin.
It's great.
I know.
Love it. How good is this movie?
It's really good. And this is his directorial debut.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very good debut. It's a strong, solid movie. It's about the woman, Molly Bloom, who ran this really high-stakes poker game in L.A. that Tobey Maguire and a bunch of other actors joined. And she ended up running afoul of the U.S. Government and ended up...
in jail?
She was actually formally arrested, but she ended up being investigated by the FBI. And so Jessica Chastain plays this young woman. And, you know, this has an athletic. She had been a championship skier
before
she...
Mm-hmm. Right.
And her brothers were... And so it kind of traces... It's kind of like the Tanya Harding story in a way. It traces the roots of her drive and her ambition and the wounds that informed all of that. And it's just a really great performance from her. Idris Elba plays her lawyer. Michael Cera, Bill Camp, Brian D'Arcy James, really good supporting actors as the poker players. It moves. You know with Sorkin, it's going to move at a clip. Everybody, you're right. Everybody does.
They're
brilliant.
Everybody's
brilliant.
Yeah, nobody talks like
that. There's one scene late in the movie. I just will say it's set in Central Park that where I thought too much. It's just too speechy and it's too on the nose. And it points up just how mannered all of that dialogue is. It's very Sorkinian and it's very much his voice. But it's really entertaining. And he's very good at threading you through a complicated story about rules and poker and, you know, all these different arcane threads that are running through the story. You're just right with it it's very engrossing.
I know a lot of people don't like him. I think he's great.
I think it's really fun. It's just fun to hear people talk that way. And
nobody talks
especially
that way.
Really
Except
good actors.
Pablo.
These people
Pablo
know how to
Torre
do it.
Talks that
is
way.
That right?
Pablo Torre is created by Aaron Sorkin.
He's an Aaron Sorkin character.
He's created by Aaron Sorkin because he actually does talk that way all the time. It's
wow.
amazing. All right, The Post. We've talked about it before a little bit here and there. I have a friend in California who really did not like it, who said he didn't give enough credit to the New York Times, and it was the New York...
Okay.
Neil Sheehan and the New York Times really did break the story. He said he didn't believe that Katharine Graham was portrayed, you know, that she was portrayed almost too ditzy at the beginning. Too dithering at the beginning.
She never was that.
And he took some offense at Ben Bradley in this regard. He said, Tom Hanks is a great actor. But Ben Bradley was always the sexiest, most dangerous person in the room.
Of course.
That does not come through as much as you want it to. So with all those criticisms in mind, How do you respond to that? And I know you love the movie, and I love the movie as well. I've said this before. I wept the entire movie. I really did. Wept.
So. I know. Me too. I take all those points. Let's start with Bradley. I agree that this performance does not capture the sex appeal, which you and I both know because we both experienced it firsthand. It was deep and it was real. But I think for the purposes of this story, it's actually appropriate that he's not the biggest. He's more of a part of an ensemble, and this is her story. And that also is my answer to the New York Times BS. This is Kay Graham's story. This is a story about how she became a journalist. And she was insecure, and I agree that maybe they do overplay that, but I think they need to establish a baseline for her to grow from. Mm-hmm. And so if they overcompensated, okay, you know, that's too bad, but I still think that her growth as a person is absolutely riveting. And the way that Streep embodies that development,
she's great,
is uncanny.
She looks
I just think it's one of the great performances of the year. And so they'd more than give Neil Sheehan credit. Come on. I mean, he's mentioned at the very beginning. They take us to the Times. I don't think that they have anything to complain about, especially if you see this as Kay Graham's story, which it is. It's based on her memoir. It's based on that passage in the memoir that this is very faithful to. And I just think it's so clear to me that it's her, you know, this is her. And, you know, it's interesting because she was not in All the President's Men, and I think that was by her own request. You know, I don't think she necessarily wanted to be in that movie as a character, but this is really giving her her due, and
it's great.
It's magnificent.
It's great, and also, as we talked about last week, it's a story about feminism.
And totally.
And it's a story about the Donald Trump.
And I would also say that the Times masthead was not as sexy as the Post masthead. That is just a fact of life. I mean, Neil Sheehan is great and all that, but that's they didn't have Ben
didn't
and
have,
Kay.
Ben and Kay. And I just think, and I think what Hanks may not bring in terms of animal sexuality, he brings an authenticity and kind of humor. You
he's
know,
got
and I think
the
he does capture
right.
that humor. And he knew, you know. He had a very tricky job in this movie, and I think he did. He played it well.
So you love that movie.
I want to hear what you think, though, Tony.
I loved the movie. I had small objections to the way Nixon was cast and sort of the homage to All the President's Men at the end and all of that.
I didn't need that second ending.
Yeah,
if you know
there's
what I mean.
A thing with Steven Spielberg, and I mean, how can you criticize Steven Spielberg? But,
well,
you know, there's a certain schmaltz to what he does
here and there.
I saw this in Bridge of Spies as well. You know, there'd be one scene where you go, you didn't really need that. And you find yourself, you can't, well, it's Steven Spielberg, so you can't say anything. But I love the movie, and the thing that I said to you last week was one of the biggest things in the movie for me was the color. Was that as the movie, it starts out, it's one woman in a sea of white men.
Exactly.
And by the end of the movie, there's color to the movie. And I don't just mean diversity color. I mean actual color.
I think you're right.
And I just so you get the sense that that is the passage of time in the world where this movie is set. And you also know that something has happened here. You might not be able to put your finger on it, but something has happened here. And that world is gone. And now people are just hanging on because world has left.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't you feel that way?
Yep.
So that's what
very
I thought.
Good.
But I'm not the movie reviewer. Because
I'm hoping
in downsizing is that they put people on either palm and then you clap your hands and they're dead.
That's
funny.
There's a scene in downsizing. There's like
that's
one
person
moment.
Chucking.
Yeah.
Throwing.
Hey.
I don't know. I just want to manage your expectations. I have this feeling you're going to watch Downsizing and say, that
and
is a
it.
Crazy movie. What were you saying? I just wanted to stipulate. It's not a
can't have it both
movie.
Ways.
It's a weird, wonderful little movie.
Thank you, Anne.
It's always a pleasure. Happy holidays to every single
you
one
too.
Of you.
Anne Hornaday,
you
boys
too.
And girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. Jeff Ma will join us and pick games. James Carville allegedly will join us and pick games. Anne and Arch, you want to plug their podcast? Why don't you do that?
Oh, yeah, at the movies. I believe the podcast was released yesterday. Yeah, all the movies that you talked about were discussed, and then there'll be a special year-end episode next week with all the great movies of the year.
Arch will complain through all of it.
Yeah, he's a bit curmudgeonly, yes, but that's why we love Arch.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Nigel has gotten Indochino suits. They always ask for your personal experience. Why don't you give your personal experience?
Yes, it's the best suit I've ever owned. I love it. It looks great on me.
Well, you're an impoverished little man and you don't own any suits.
Well, that's true. I do have a tuxedo t-shirt, which I like to wear a lot. But this is much better than that. It fits me like a glove because it's measured to my specific dimensions. Is that the right way?
Yes.
Now, you could go to a tailor and do this, which is what I recommend. But you could do it like I did. I did it with a piece of rope and a yardstick, and my measurements came out perfectly. I not only love the suit so much, I got another one, and I'll probably get another one this winter.
Great. I'm going to get one for my dog.
Yes.
Indochino is making it easy to get a suit made to your exact measurements at a great price. You can choose from hundreds of top quality fabrics, customize all the details, including your lapel, the jacket lining, a monogram. More, if you want. Indochino has been featured in major publications, including GQ, Forbes, and Fast Company, now the largest made-to-measure menswear company. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. You pick the fabric you want. You choose the customizations you want. You submit your measurements. You place your order. Excuse me. In a few weeks, you get a suit. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when entering Tony K at checkout. And that's really good for a suit. Doesn't pay for one of Wilbon's shoes.
No, it doesn't.
Not
at
two,
all.
Just not even one of Wilbon's shoes. That's 50% off the regular price for a made to measure premium suit. Plus, the shipping is free. That is Indochino.com, Indochino, Indochino.com. The promo code is Tony for any premium suit for just $359 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in with these words. My name is Michelle Carmen. I'm a singer and songwriter in Philadelphia. I've recently become friends with Nigel. He has introduced me to your show, which I now love. I mean, what's not to love about a show that has constant sound of a leaf blower behind it and the always great stories of free orange pants? Birthday boy today wearing orange pants.
Oh, look at that. See?
Birthday boy in the crowd wearing orange pants.
Paid for them, though. Paid like $20 for them.
I also love that you play music from your listeners who are apparently all over the world. I'm working on my second album and just recently released the first single from it called Shattered Glass.
That's the name of the
song. By the way, a great movie.
Oh, yes.
A great journalism movie.
Fantastic movie.
I'd be thrilled and honored if you guys would play it. Thanks so much. And with cheesery to everyone on the show.
Yeah, she's a very talented singer and a very good friend. I urge you to, it's Carmen, K-A-R-M-I-N. Check her work out on iTunes.
All right, Nigel.
Yes.
Very good, Nigel.
Like to talk to my friends.
Very good. Is Carville with us?
Carville is with us.
James Carville was 1-2 last week, but had nailed the first game. Had Boise State, all over Boise State, crushing. Who did they crush? Oregon. You were all over that. What do you have for us this week?
All right, what I got for you this week is, first of all, I'm terrible. I missed the bad boy Moore Gasparilla Bowl. That was last night.
What?
We'll move on from there.
That was crazy.
What is that? What are bad boy mowers? What is that?
It's a lawnmower. I have no idea. I know what they are now.
Yeah.
Dudes to them. I like Kansas State and UCLA. What's that line?
Oh, my God. So
what
we're struggling because my program here at DonBest.com will not line them up. So I got to go day by day. So
I love Kansas State. I love Kansas State. Bill Snyder is the best coach of any kind in any sport, college or pro.
-2.5, James.
Kansas State. Bill Snyder is better than Popovich. He's better than Belichick. He's better than Joe Madden. He's better than anybody.
All right, you got K-State -2.5
K-State.
Over UCLA.
That's correct. And the South Florida Bulls.
Yes.
That's a field goal.
Who are they playing?
Texas Tech.
I like them. Charlie Strong. I checked it out this morning. They've lost some games, but they've been really close, and I think he's going to have them really up to play. And I love.
Are they giving three, Gary?
-3, yes, sir.
South Florida -3. Go ahead.
Oh, we lost James.
What happened to James?
I don't know.
Line went down.
I'll call him back.
Hold on. Yeah, we'll have to fill for a while.
Yeah, because he sounded like he had some more action.
He was excited.
Obviously been drinking early this holiday season, saying Bill Snyder better than Belichick, better than Popovich. But hey, you know.
Older than Popovich, older than Belichick.
Is that right?
Bill Snyder is in his mid to late 70s at Kansas State. Yeah,
did not know.
He's really good.
Did not realize that.
Did he just vaporize?
What's it?
What happened?
Have you paid the phone bill here at Chatter? I hasten to ask.
This is amazing. So now we have no dial tone. We have nothing.
No, I'm not getting any photos.
This is a short segment then.
Yeah, there you
I
go.
Am watching the great food segment on the Today Show.
Okay, so
they
here's what you need to do.
Look at that sub.
And rolling it around cheese. It looks delicious.
What we need to do then, we need to text Carville. We need to text him, and we need to find out what his picks are. As our equipment
Because, Nigel, I'm also finding that the internet's down, so I'm sure that has something to do with it. Yep.
I think a giant rat chewed through everything in the building.
We've got a complete collapse of all communication.
That's what I think happened. That's what happened at the Atlanta
Little
airport.
Little Rocket Man could be lobbing one over here. We wouldn't even know it. We're sitting at ground zero.
Maybe this is
how
the
great,
first sign.
How
Little
great
Rocket
is
Man.
This? So just text James and get his other picks. Look. And then we'll have to text Jeff Ma and get his picks because we have no. Are we recording the show?
Our holiday gift to you. We will be a short show today. That's our holiday gift to you.
Yeah. So everybody can go home and do what they want to do.
All right then.
What do we do? Seriously.
Well, it's your show. What do
you know what I'd like to talk about? I'd like to talk about the Redskins sending their fans a questionnaire. Select fans.
What is this?
A questionnaire.
What happened?
The Redskins sent select fans a questionnaire.
Select season ticket holders.
Season ticket holders.
Actually, I think it was select premium seat season ticket holders, which is where your tickets used to be, I
think,
right?
Yes, yes.
Asking them for their comments about on the field and off the field performance of the team. My prediction, the Redskins will make moves in the offseason and say, well, we polled our premium season ticket holders, and this is what they want us to do.
That
what
is
do
you genius,
think?
McManus.
What do you think? So that means they will just do everything that they want.
Correct.
Yeah. So that
and
they
will
have,
never
so
actually
that
release
management
numbers.
Has cover for whatever
correct.
Horrible decisions.
So they'll never actually
well,
release numbers.
I have already predicted that Gruden and Cousins will both be gone. So
well,
I don't
the
know.
Fans didn't want them.
That's absolutely right.
Right. We polled the fans.
We
they
can't
said
sell seats with Gruden and Cousins. So, you know, we did what we had to do to survive.
That is brilliant.
I'm making an executive decision because we have a lot of people here. So I'm going to go take pictures with a lot of people.
Well, I've got news stories. Do you want me to do some news stories for you?
You can do a couple of news stories, but then I'm going to take pictures
with a lot of people. Oh, internet's back up, so phones are probably working.
Oh, is it? All right, should I try James now?
Well, just see if it works.
Well, it does. All right.
Well, just see if the phone works.
This is riveting.
No, the phone doesn't work.
This is riveting podcast.
Do a couple of news stories, and then we'll stop. Because this is exposing us as complete frauds.
Total frauds. Charlotte. Exposed. Everyone thought we were so legit prior to this.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is a total dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. Are you dialing somebody?
Yes.
Yeah, phone's working, so he's dialing up James. So recapping James's pick, James attempting to finish strong after a 10-19 season. He's got K-State.
That's why people like this show,
half.
Because our failures are so evident all the time.
Yeah. Well, what
is, all the time, our failures are evident. James got cut off. He now wants to reverse those bets, probably.
He's changed his mind. Bill Snyder,
he's
too old.
He's thought about it. Bill Snyder, far too old to bet on. Are you back, James?
I'm back.
All right, so you gave us Kansas State -2.5 and South Florida -3. What else?
And I like Buffalo a lot.
The Bills?
Oh. Getting like 12.5 or 13. I think New England got beat up. It was, you know, maybe the most competitive NFL game of the season.
Oh, against Pittsburgh. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think Buffalo's playing for a playoff spot, and they're not bad.
And they're going to try and kill Gronkowski. Like physically,
Someone's going to cheap shot him. We can. All we can.
That's appointment television for me. That's the game I'm going to watch.
How many?
The line opened at 13, but I don't, James. It's not more than 12 anywhere, and 11.5 a lot of
all
places.
Right. I saw 12.5.
Give me 12.5. It's Christmas.
12.5. Make you laugh. I love Buffalo.
All right, is that it? Are those your picks?
That's my pick.
Thank you, James. Thank you, James. James, obviously, James. Doesn't have much to do during the day if
right.
he can absorb a 10-minute hiatus.
He's settled into Luke's armchair and just sitting there enjoying the holiday.
Would love
Are you
going to
get
James
us Jeff Ma now?
Oh, yeah. If we gave you just James, that would be enough.
No.
But we give you James and Jeff Ma.
Yeah, we give you Jeff Ma.
Bet the process, as I like to call it.
Bet the process.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen it? Have you ever listened
to it?
I
have not listened to it, and I don't even believe that Rufus Peabody exists just
because like
the name sounds made up.
Rufus T. Firefly is made up.
But actually, I read Rufus Peabody. I think I shared this with you once. I read Rufus Peabody's bio, and it is unbelievable. It's his pedigree.
Yeah.
Jeff Ma joins us now. Jeff, Gary Braun is saying he doesn't believe that Rufus exists at all.
That just sounds like a made-up name.
Your partner on Bet the Process, he doesn't believe he exists. Does he exist?
Well, it's not just a made-up name. It's actually a made-up dog's name, as we often say.
So no, yeah, he exists.
So listen to this bio. Not you, Jeff. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Oh, though you're welcome to listen. Rufus Peabody. Rufus is a professional sports analyst who lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and Washington, D.C. Previously, he worked as a statistical analyst for Las Vegas Sports Consultants. Those are, Tony, as you know, the biggity big guys. The largest and most influential odds-making company in the world. He has a B.A. in economics from Yale University, where he wrote his senior thesis on inefficiencies in performance evaluation in the Major League Baseball betting market. Rufus is a Redskins fan. It's that last thing that to me...
It doesn't add up.
Yeah, no. It's just like no one with that brain would be a Redskins fan.
So, all right, Jeff. Two and two last week. What do you got for us?
Let's start with Atlanta, +6 over New Orleans. We all know New Orleans has the top offense in the league in terms of yards per play, but Atlanta isn't far behind them, and Atlanta has actually a better defense in terms of yards per play. I actually think these teams are much closer to even, so... I think this line should be much closer to a field goal. So getting 6 with Atlanta is a game I like.
So this was the one game when Chuck Todd picked games yesterday and we gave him this game. This is the one where I said, are you sure you want to go with New Orleans? Atlanta has won a couple of games in a row. Atlanta can win the division by beating New Orleans and beating Carolina. It's right in front of them. And I think I agree with you. I think I would take Atlanta in this game because I think they're good. I do. I think they're good.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative is certainly that they have gotten over their Super Bowl hangover. They've drinking some Pedialyte, and they're much better. They're hydrated and ready to go after this night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think it's a matter of points, right? It's just too many points. Like, if this line were 4 or 3, I wouldn't take Atlanta. But at 6, I certainly like Atlanta.
Okay, what else you got?
We're going to take a very terrible team. We're going to take the New York Giants +3.5 over the Cardinals. Again, like the narrative is the Giants are terrible. They've quit. They played well against Philly. Their offense is actually better this year in terms of yards per play than the Cardinals are. And I think the Cardinals offensively are struggling so much that I don't really want to give more than a field goal with them. So I would take the Giants +3.5.
Okay. I think I would do that too.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I would do that too. I don't like Arizona. I thought Arizona and Cincinnati are just no good. What else?
It's been like about 3 years since Arizona scored a touchdown. I don't know if you realize
yeah,
that.
They don't score.
Yeah, five field goals against Skins against the Redskins. And four no the week before that touchdowns.
No good.
Jacksonville may be making me a believer. They definitely have an above-average offense now in terms of yards per play. San Francisco has obviously played much better, and the betting markets really like Handsome Jimmy, but they have played their last 3 games against Chicago, Houston, and Tennessee, so I do still think they're a bit overrated. And they won that game last week because Tennessee just mismanaged all of their sort of end-of-game scenarios, giving San Francisco too much time. So Jacksonville giving 4 to San Francisco is a game I like.
Jeff, this is so different for you. You're betting a favorite. You never bet favorites. Never. That's great.
Bet some favorites sometimes when there's value. And then I'm actually going to do 6 games total today because I'm trying to get up to 500.
All right. Love it.
So we're going to take a team that everyone thinks is quit, a team that everyone thinks is in so much turmoil and their coach is quitting, et cetera.
Seattle.
Cincinnati +4. No, Cincinnati 2. Well, we're going to take Seattle in a second, but Cincinnati +4 over Detroit. They still have the number 7 defense in yards per play. Narrative is they have given up, but one of the things that's really, really hard to do in the NFL, especially towards the end of the year, is to predict motivation. It's really a fool's errand, and teams always come out, you know, looking better than you think they do. So I like them +4 over a Detroit team that has been pretty overrated all year. And then, yeah, let's move on to Seattle. I mean, Seattle is a team that, again, people think with all this concussion stuff, and they've given up, and after last week, and et cetera, but this is a team with a ton of pride. Dallas is a very, very, very bad team. I really don't think they're as good as people believe they are. And with, you know, everyone's like, Ezekiel Elliott is coming back, all this kind of stuff. But it's overrated. It's overrated that he's come back, and Seattle's getting 5 points over Dallas, which is a lot at this stage. Where if you think about this game, if both teams were healthy, 100% healthy, what do you think the line would be? Seattle would probably even be favored in this game.
I think so.
So I do like... Yeah, so I like getting the 5 points. Here.
Jeff, is Zeke's return, is Ezekiel Elliott's return reflected in that line, do you think? Like, if he were still out, is that line considerably shorter?
Well, the line opened at, like, 2.5 or 3 and then has moved to 5. Now, there's some arguing about what moved that line, whether it was just someone literally posting a line, forgetting that Elliott was coming back, and then sort of like this line moving very quickly on very not much money based on the fact that, like, you know, that there was a small opener where literally someone posted a line that was wrong. But yeah, no, I think it's reflected in that line. And honestly, I think a lot of the people that Dallas has gone back in the last couple of weeks are more important than Elliott. I think, you know, having a healthy Tyron Smith.
Yeah, you have an offensive line.
Sean Lee. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
All right, one more you got.
So I think, well, what would you guess, Tony? This is the week.
Chicago, you're going to take Cleveland.
This is the week, yeah. The math actually says that this line is correct. This line should be about Chicago -7, which was crazy to me when I looked at the numbers, because I just can't imagine a world where Chicago should be giving a 7 to anyone, but obviously if they're going to give it to anyone, it would be Cleveland. I just think that the two, you know, the state of this game, the motivation, et cetera, I said predicting motivation is a fool's errand, but when you need to, you know, when you're a team that's going to win and you're going to do anything to win and has to win and wants to win and all that kind of stuff, I do believe that this is a good spot for Cleveland, especially getting 6.5 points over a Chicago team, which isn't very good. So I like Cleveland here, and we can all root together on Sunday.
I hope, yeah, well, it'd be great to see Wilbon go down with Chicago.
But he would be right.
What I hope, Jeff, is that on the last drive, if they need points to cover, DeShone Kizer doesn't just throw the ball straight up in
like
the air.
Like he's playing 500.
Right, like he does all the time. He's the worst. He's the worst, DeShone Kizer. So
he's doing all he can to help us prove that, like, turnovers, interceptions are not, we believe generally that they're not that predictable, i.e., like, because you do it a lot in the past doesn't mean you're going to do a lot in the future. But he's proving to us that he does it a lot in the past and probably will do it a lot in the future.
Do a lot in the future. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff's podcast is called Bet the Process, and I love having you on the air. I do. I absolutely love it. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, we'll get out of here, right?
Yeah, why not?
Because that segment took forever because we didn't know what we were doing.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. So when we come back, we will have Old Guy Radio.
That's right.
Old Guy, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day.
Bells will be ringing.
This is a good tune.
These guys can do all right.
Yeah, this is a good tune.
This is, they did this in 1978, covered the original by Charles Brown, which was released in 1960. I don't know if it went by Charlie Brown, but this is interesting because this is the first song by the Eagles that featured Timothy B. Schmidt on bass and vocals, replacing Randy Meisner, who had just left the group.
I'm always complaining about Christmas songs, and yet there's 8 to 10 that I think are great.
Is this on that list?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I mean, the John Lennon one is number one for me. But there's like 8 or 10 that I think are just great. My anger over the Christmas song, anger is the wrong word. Growing up, there would be, for about a month, this was the Little Drummer Boy. Like, you could not escape Simply the Little Drummer Boy.
And Jingle Bell Rock.
Right. Oh, Bill Haley, just awful, just an awful tune. And you could not get away from it. So
me, I feel sorry for people who work in stores.
Oh, yeah.
This is just soundtrack for a month.
Yeah. I worked at a Chadwick's, the one in Alexandria.
Yeah.
And they had that loop. And that's why I despise Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah. Oh, that one will grate on you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me go insane.
Well, the good news is that there'll be no jobs in America in 5 years except delivery service jobs, as Amazon will take over the entire country. So there's a couple of things I wanted to. I really don't have any particular show, and I have. I have great apprehension about this coming week. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be too cold to play golf, and I was thinking I could drive as far south as Pinehurst in North Carolina if Alex Podlogar is listening, and maybe play golf for a day or two. That's like a 6-hour drive, but I'm going to go out of my mind because I don't have. I am that I can't sit still. You know me well.
I do.
I'm not somebody who can sit still. I literally eat standing up in my house. I do everything standing up and walking around. I have no attention span. I have no patience. You know, I cannot fill my day on the elliptical machine. No, that's 20 minutes, and then I'm tired, and I don't want to do that. I don't read anymore. I don't know what
any
I'm going
to. Any crafts projects that
No, I don't,
are
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Anything, any handyman stuff around
no,
the house
I
you
I
could
no
do?
No, I have no talent for that. And I've said this before. If you go into my house, there's three televisions in my house, and if I am away from them for any more than 10 minutes, when I come back, the Hallmark Channel
yes.
is on. And that drives me nuts, and I don't... It's like I got 8 to 10 days. I am actually tempted, and I don't talk like this. I'm actually tempted to go to an airport and
wow.
get on a plane. And I don't even
That's
know.
That's a
to,
bad idea.
I don't know to where. I don't know. California.
What's your first flight? Yeah, I'll take
why,
that.
Why
I
don't
know.
You just, somewhere warm.
Why don't you bundle up and walk Chessie to the beach? And yeah, it'll take the whole week.
Over the Bay Bridge. Yeah. It would be lovely.
I'm not walking you and over I had talked about doing a lot of busking this winter.
Not
did
busking.
You? Okay.
I just
well, you know, Tony, there's a train that goes south to
yeah.
North Carolina.
That's
goes
a good point.
I know. I mean, I just.
You could even take your car. Try. I think, like in Fredericksburg,
the auto train,
you can. Yeah.
I don't.
Of the auto trains.
I got nowhere to stay in Florida. But as Alan always says to me, the socialite who dropped by today, he always says, just go to a hotel. Hotels are open. You know, go to a hotel.
To a bathrobe situation.
Yeah. Go to a hotel.
Go to the Mayflower.
So,
but that doesn't help you. Then you're just stuck in a hotel. You need something to do once you get
there. I had a good year, too. I mean, a lot of nice things happened. Here's the socialite.
Get on
the microphone.
Get on Michael's microphone.
Go on the microphone.
Socialite's weighing in.
Turn it on for him, Gene.
Yes, there's a red button.
Don't want it. It's
a
red button.
The red button right there. There you go.
I have asked Tony to come to Florida for 2 months this week. He has nothing to do.
I have nothing to do.
And he says, I have nowhere to stay. I said, they have these new inventions. They're amazing. You pay money and they give you a room, beds, towels, sheets.
Bathrooms.
Yeah, but I don't want to stay in one of them. Yes, they're really nice. Stay there. I have no golf games. You're welcome to play. Mari wants to play with you. We have all week. Get on a plane today or tomorrow. Come on to Florida.
No, I'm going to spend Christmas with Elizabeth, and then I think I may do that.
Okay.
I may just do that.
Now,
and it'd be terrifying
didn't
to me.
There's
he
no
bail
chance,
I'll be alone.
But okay.
I'll
there's
be alone.
No chance.
Alone. I mean,
no
I,
chance.
I can't actually get on a plane alone. I need
talismans
customer service.
And amulets.
Yeah.
Didn't he bail on you a couple of years ago? You had it all arranged
no,
for him to come
no.
to Florida?
No,
oh, you bailed
come.
On
no,
him.
No,
you
I went. No, I went and I had a great time. This is the whole point. I actually had a great time and I had something to do because for 4 hours a day and then before and after, I have something to do. And I have nothing to do now. Nothing.
And nowhere to stay.
No, I can. I won't. No, I have nothing.
Why don't we do the show? Come
do
the show.
No, everybody should
do a couple
have time
6 hour
off.
Shows.
Everybody should have time off. Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
That was great.
Very, very nice.
Mr. Bubis.
Clifford
on fire.
Irving died.
I know.
Clifford Irving. Now, a lot of people in this room, and not all of them are old enough to remember Clifford Irving.
I do not.
Clifford Irving, in the early 1970s, said that he was releasing a biography of Howard Hughes.
Autobiography
of Howard Hughes that Howard Hughes had cooperated with. And he got the equivalent now of $10 million, $20 million for this. Because Howard Hughes was the most fascinating guy in the world because nobody had seen him in 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew where he was. There was a movie called Melvin and Howard that was a great
That's
movie.
That's right, yes.
There's all sorts of stuff about Howard Hughes. And it was a complete fake.
Wasn't Howard Hughes alive then?
Yes.
Yes.
It was a yes, he had his cooperation. It was a complete fake.
Oh, so Howard Hughes was in on it.
No.
No.
Clifford
no,
Irving was pretending to interview Howard Hughes.
But, that's like me saying I'm releasing Tony's autobiography and Tony saying, no, you're not, dude.
But he counted on the fact
that Hughes would stay.
He wisely counted on the fact that Howard Hughes would not come public and say it, and he never did. No, this was like a mystery
novel. I got to read this book.
Well, it's...
Not that book. The book about this scam.
The movie that it was made into, Hoax, with Richard Gere and Alfred Molina, is very,
yeah,
very
is.
Good.
Okay.
And Clifford Irving just died. There is, in his biography, and he was a really good writer, in his biography, because Mr. Irving distributed his autobiography online beginning in 1999 and later published it as an e-book. He offered different explanations for why he decided to write it, but eventually pointed journalists towards the epigraph to his book, Hoax, a quote from someone named Jean Lemalconeau. And the quote is, "You may look for motive in an act, but only after the act has been committed. An effect creates not only the search for a cause, but the reality of the cause itself. I must warn you, however, that the attempt to establish relationships between acts and motives, effects and causes, is one of the most time-wasting games ever invented by man," unquote. Mr. Irving told Britain's Telegraph newspaper in 2007 that the quote was from a 12th century philosopher before pausing to correct himself. Actually, he said, I made him up. To the end. Clifford Irving did this all the time, and he was really talented. Really talented. So that's a, you know, that's a piece of Americana. You have to be at least 60 years old, right?
In this world, you could not get away with that now.
Not with the internet.
No.
I mean, all frauds, even things that are not fraudulent are exposed as fraudulent.
Exactly.
Everything is fraudulent all the time.
Creative energy it would take to do...
It was a really anticipated biography.
It was.
Absolutely, because Howard Hughes was the most fascinating.
But the fascinating thing about that is that obviously this guy had to be talented. The creative energy it would take to do that...
Nobody couldn't get it. The point was you could get the equivalent of $20 million then because it was Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
Who is like that now? I don't know. I mean, I don't know who's reclusive and who's interesting. I mean, I don't know how that works. Dick Enberg died. We should mention this. I didn't know this till this morning.
Yeah.
I got an email from a friend of his in California. Dick Enberg, he did everything.
He did everything
10 times.
And did it well.
He did football. He did baseball. He did UCLA
tennis,
basketball.
Wimbledon.
He did everything. I mean, you can't remember. He doesn't. Dick Enberg, he was not Howard Cosell. He didn't have a voice like Al Michaels or Marv Albert or anything like that. But he was so comfortable and appeared to be, I mean, the word that I was used, most people would use the word professional. For me, he was so honest when he broadcast a game. I mean, didn't get carried away, but every once in a while, if he got surprised, you would know that he got surprised. And he seemed very human when he did games. He didn't, he was one of the few that did not attempt, or not even attempt, but most of the time, play-by-play guys become the stars. And Dick Enberg...
Well, his era predated that, though.
That's right.
That wasn't how you did games then. And he was just... He was so... I mean, I think... I would not have thought of it, but honest is a perfect word.
It's honest.
Just so genuine, so real.
In recent years, he did the San Diego Padres games.
Yeah.
I mean, at an age, much like Vin Scully, but Vin Scully always did the Dodgers. In recent years, in his 80s, Dick Enberg did... He just retired last year.
Yes.
He did Padres games. I mean, he really liked what he did and did it all the time.
He also had a quality lacking today. He knew when to be quiet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to do that. I mean, and great broadcasters really know when to lay out, but what happens is there's other people with them, and they step on the moment. I was guilty of that myself. I mean, producers will say to you, lay out. And you'll go, okay, but for how long? You know, for 2 seconds? And then you just start to talk. And actually what you should do is lay out for about 10 seconds is eternity when you're broadcasting.
So in 1957, he was the play-by-play voice of the Indiana Hoosiers football and men's basketball, and his career spanned through 2016, which he did Padres play-by-play on TV. I didn't realize he'd done it as recently as last year.
Yeah, well, he just retired last year.
Years.
Not as long as Scully, but a long time. Mark Ein, our friend Mark Ein, buying the city paper.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark Ein going to buy the city paper and turn it into, I assume, tremendous coverage of the Washington Capitals in their 1week season. And we're happy for Mark Ein.
Yeah.
Yes.
We like Mark Ein.
We do like Mark.
We like Mark Ein. So
and I will say this, even though it's not...
You know what? If he's got money to spend, we take investors.
Well, and also, the Washington Post has really created a hole big enough to drive a truck through because it has stopped with its emphasis on local coverage.
Yeah.
Almost completely.
Yeah.
So I would encourage Mark to just drive that truck right through that hole.
So we're happy about that. We should Do you have to buy the city paper? Or is it free?
Didn't used to.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. We could put a chatter ad in there though, as soon as Mark Ein buys it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Emails and jingles, right? Do we have emails? Because Michael's not here.
We do.
Did he leave emails for you?
Yes, we between the two of us, we've cobbled together a packet for you.
Fabulous. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony, baby, what's a gift for the 1% who's no gent? Not a nice job out of you, Tony, baby. So Santa says you're dead to him now. Think of all the hours you've fetched. Think of all the vile detractors you've dispatched. Next year we expect the same. When we tune in to Old Saint Satch. Tony Bubba, I know where you'll be taking that drink, the sink. We've heard that one all year, Tony baby, and Santa says you're dead to him now.
Sent in by Brad Weiss in Williamsburg, Virginia. Brought to you by courtesy of Julie Corsaro, the mother of his firstborn child, a masculine child, the woman to whom yada, 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 just play the damn thing, okay? Before we get to the mailbag, let me say thank you to Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday, to Jeff Ma, our predictive expert and the host of the podcast Bet the Process, and to the legendary James Carville, who was interrupted so rudely.
But persevered.
Technology
but
failed
hung
us.
In there just to give us yet another game where he made the line advantageous to himself. Let me thank the sponsors, Upside and Indochino. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen through iTunes, leave us a review, please. From Rick Fawcett in Youngstown, Ohio. I arrived home from work yesterday to find my mother-in-law, sister-in-law, and the woman to whom I'm related by marriage watching a Hallmark movie starring Christy Swanson. Yes, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Since the Hallmark Channel had never darkened our TV screen, I had a few questions. Me, what's this? Sister-in-law, it's a Christmas movie. Me, is the main character a hardworking single mom with a heart of gold? My wife, yes. Me, does she reignite with an old high school flame? My wife, he's the town sheriff. As I begin laughing, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage calls me a name that is not representative of the glad tidings or merriment of the holiday season. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and happy holidays to you and the gang. From Chris Johnson in Tyler, Texas. I teach high school chemistry, and I had some students, naming all the members of bands they knew. I chimed in with, yeah, but do you know the name of the Rascals? I started to name them, but I could only come up with Dino Danelli. It's harder than you make it seem, Dr. Tony. It may be the hardest thing in the universe. There's Eddie Brigati, there's Felix Cavalieri, there's Gene Cornish, and there's Dino Danelli.
And Earl Campbell from Tyler, Texas, right?
To Tyler Rose.
Yes.
Brendan Borzelli. Haven't heard from him in a while. Lebanon, New Jersey. Enjoy your vacation and be sure to admire the many holiday cards you've received, particularly cards that feature sports writers atop a horse. Merry Christmas. From George Lyle in Martinsville, Virginia. 1, Cameron Indoor. 2, Rupp Arena. 3, Dr. By Lee Court. That's it. That's the list.
Yes.
Pat Keene in Yonkers, New York. Listening to all this praise for the Bruce Springsteen show on Broadway and hearing it's been extended is making me crazy. I'm a night bar manager at the Mean Fiddler on 47th Street between Broadway and 8th in New York City. Springsteen is playing on 48th Street between Broadway and 8th. Parking in the Times Square area parking lots is expensive and street parking is almost impossible. But there are 2 secret spots on 48th that those of us in the know use for free after 7 p.m. Springsteen Show Theater puts barricades out on the street every night, blocking my secret spots and one of the 2 traffic lanes on my block. Hey, Bruce, get off my lawn. From Ray Dubicki in Seattle, like D.C., Seattle has been enjoying a wave of bike shares. We have 4 companies, each a different color and app. Living in one of this town's flatter neighborhoods, many wild bikes drift this direction. A few weeks ago, someone parked a bike in the middle of the kids' elementary school playground. Being a gracious human who did not want to see the bike demolished and used in a Lord of the Flies playground ritual, I took it upon myself to usher the bike to the sidewalk. So I started to walk and carry this pretty heavy beast because I was not going to pay to unlock it. About 10 feet in, the bike lets out a loud squawk and announces, "Register your use of this bike or authorities will be contacted." Irritated at being threatened by a bicycle that I'm trying to rescue, I called the customer service number. I gave the person an earful about this nuisance and now it was screaming at me. "Oh, the alarm," she asked. "That's just a deterrent. No one is called if you move the bike. Please feel free to use this information for life as you see fit. May I suggest an interpretive sculpture next to the chatter sign or a gift for the live nativity? Enjoy your Hollywood break," to everybody here. Matt Mangan in Sitges, Spain. It was the summer of 1988. I was new to D.C., making my first pilgrimage to the Kennedy Center. I was walking down the escalators from the Hall of States to the parking levels when I immediately recognized Ben Bradley coming up the adjacent escalator. Navy blue suit, striped shirt, adjusting a cufflink, stunning. I looked at him. He looked up at me. I expected him to look away. He didn't. I realized I was staring awkwardly, so I looked away. I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. As he passed me, I glanced over to see him chuckling to himself. I then realized that I had lost a stare down to the great Ben Bradley, as if I could ever make Ben Bradley uncomfortable. What a dope I am. I remember it like it was yesterday. I always will. Thank you for sharing your memories.
That's funny.
I mean, he's Ben Bradley.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he is, again, and my friend David is right. He's the sexiest and most dangerous guy in the room at all times. And to be in a room with him is to really feel small. It's to really feel small. So guys that Ben liked, like Edward Bennett Williams, they must be lions too. All
Art
of
Buckwell.
Them. Yeah. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white. Thank you so much for coming.
But we don't have the chaputzfah to do it.
Things have changed, you can feel. You know it's never gonna be the same. Paralyzed by the size of all the things that we did not intend. Say goodbye, it's alright. But am I ever gonna see you again? Measuring words, taking turns with all your silent answers. When you think things are over, you leave and hurt to cry. Born in New Jersey, ride it through New Hampshire. Would this be our last goodbye? Stranger searching for 80s on the stereo. Kiss her and go when you were born to ride. She countryside, paralyzed by your eyes. I wanna be what you did not intend. Make me laugh, you're badass. If you're arrested, you can give me a call. All the times coincide, like all the feelings in a tear with a smile. When you think things are my life. Think too much and it's gone, while the smell of her hair lingers on. Say goodbye, make you lie, spread around looking deep in her eyes. What went on in these days, painted words as wind to remind us. Yeah, when you think things are Jersey, riding through New Hampshire. Could this be a-
stars.